What's going on, Player Profiler Nation? It's Matty Keyboom. Welcome to episode 2 of Blue Chips, where Devy meets Dynasty, and we look at it through the lens of college football. We're diving into everything college football, covering your prospects for Dynasty, covering your prospects for Devy, covering prospects any which way we want to here on Blue Chips. And today's episode is a very special one to me because we are going to be going over my NFL first round mock draft 1.0 that you can find over at playerprofiler.com. Now, the one on the website reflects the week 16 standings, week 17. We haven't had the update in time before posted. So we're going to use those updates here. We're going to use the time here on Blue Chips to kind of go through those edits, go through my first round. I will go player by player, give a little blurb, a little something, something about it. So we are going to dive into my mock draft 1.0 here on Blue Chips. So let's get into it. So for this mock, no trades. It's not exactly what I think I would do. It's more of like what I think the tea leaves are saying. What I've read, what I've heard about, the podcasts I've tuned into, the articles I've gone through, just kind of getting a feel for these franchises and kind of taking into consideration what they've done, taking into consideration how they're game planning, and really trying to put together a perfect mock draft. And obviously it won't be perfect because there will be trades, all that good stuff. But I didn't do any trades here. This is a first round, 1 through 32. Where they draft is who they is where they stayed. And then we thought we'll give the prospects as a whole. There's a lot of dynasty relevant players here in this mock, here in this first round. This draft is going to be particularly exciting for us dynasty gamers because the rookie drafts are going to be LOAD loaded. I almost couldn't spell loaded on my own show. Not here on it. This isn't a spelling bee. This is a prospect show. This is where Dynasty meets Devy, and we look at it through the lens of college football, and we talk about the prospects, the Sunday stars before they play on Sunday, if you will. So let's dive right on into pick number one. Pick number one is the Chicago Bears pick. They have this pick after making a brilliant trade with the Panthers last year, moving from 1 to 9. And in doing so, they were able to get the Panthers 24 first round pick. They were able to get multiple picks in 2023 that they use. And then also DJ Moore, who, I'll let your boy, had a bomb season. 1 week left. He has 1,300 receiving yards. He's a top 10 fantasy producer. Exactly what I had thought he would be. But anyway, this is not a show about me gloating about how awesome DJ Moore is, because this would be a 6-hour show, 7-hour show, probably 7-hour show. Excuse me, if I was going to just talk about my love of DJ Moore, who I was able to acquire in the Golden Pony Fantasy Football Experience after I was eliminated, made the good move. Now he's where he's supposed to be. Anyway, let's get into the mock here. And I have the Chicago Bears selecting Caleb Williams, quarterback from USC, the uber-talented prospect living in the penthouse in LA, doing all the right things. Now, I believe that the right move here is to kick the can down the road. I think that they trade back, continue to gather assets, and stay with Fields. And I know a lot of people's sentiment is, you take the quarterback, you reset the rookie clock, and you maximize salary that way. But I think it's when you really dive into the nitty gritty, yeah, that sounds great. And of course, that makes sense. But you're also rebuilding culture. You're also rebuilding relationships. That's going to take time. And you may find yourself in a similar situation where you're 4 years in and now you're doing the same thing. Whereas Justin Fields, you can extend him with the 5th-year option and then you can franchise him. I know that's expensive, but you're not committing long term over this thing. You still have 2 or 3 years to see what you have with this team as it's incorporating. And he's looking like he's a leader. He's looking like this team's going in the right direction. The defense is playing good. I hate that Matt Eberflus is doing the damn thing with the defense because I think he ends up sticking around. And I think that might be counterproductive for the offense as a whole, for the Bears going forward. But anyway, in this move, I have them taking Caleb Williams because it does seem like, if you're reading the tea leaves, there's a lot of sentiment that believes that Caleb's coming to town. Caleb's going to Chicago. Caleb Williams is going to Chicago. So uber talented kid, super prospect, has his red flags, but it's really more nitpicky, I would say. He can make all the throws. He's mobile. He's 6'1". He's not so tall, but he's not as short as a Bryce Young or a Kyler Murray even. So he's going to be a good pro. And if he gets to the right landing spot, he's going to be a good pro. So Caleb Williams at the 101. At the 102, Drake May going to the Washington Commanders. Now, Sam Howell is just not doing a good job displaying that he is the franchise quarterback. And now that there's going to probably be a new regime, there's a new ownership group, the Drake May fit in Washington just looks – it looks perfect. It looks – I can see it. I know that they're going to be – you know, the rumors have already happened that they got an interest in Caleb. Could be a smokescreen, could be not. There's a lot that still has to play out from now till the NFL draft. So in my mock 1.0, the Washington Commanders are getting Drizzy Drake May. That brings up the New England Patriots, my hometown team, the team that I root for personally as a fan. And now this leaves the crossroads here. Do they go Marvin Harrison and then maybe go Russell Wilson or a vet? I don't think so. I think that we are looking at a new regime change. I think Mac Jones and Bill Belichick are out in New England. And I think the new era of Patriot football is going to be built around that of Jaden Daniels. Now, Jaden Daniels, his red flag is his size. He does look skinny. He is skinny. But he's a high-powered playmaker. He ran for over 1,000 yards, threw for over 3,000 yards. He was a monster at LSU last year. 3,800 yards passing, over 1,200 yards rushing. I mean, his upside is tremendous. The 6'4", 210, he can get a little bulkier. I'd like to see him weighing at the combine at 220, but I don't know if that's going to happen if he wants to be a burner. But he has a bit of that athleticism freak, that upside. And over the course of time, over the course of history, we keep going back to, you know, the Lamar Jackson at pick 32, like how good it is to get one of these playmakers. And where I think the Patriots would benefit from getting a guy like this is they don't have weapons around him. So, yeah, a Michael Penix Jr. can throw the ball better. Yeah, maybe a Bo Nix is more polished than a Jaden Daniels. But those guys need playmakers to truly reach their pinnacle. Patriots are deprived of playmakers. They have Pop Douglas and nothing when it comes to the pass catchers on that team. So I think you get a guy like Jaden Daniels, and you can use his legs to your advantage. You can use the scheme to your advantage, and you can kind of dial up some really funky, some fun things with that offense. So I think that that is the perfect fit. Let's move on to pick number 4, Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals. Seems as stock and loaded. It is as locked and loaded. I do think we will see a push to the top of the lead, top of the draft with quarterbacks, whether it be Daniels, whether it be Penix, whether it be Nix, whatever. I do think there is going to be 2, 3, maybe even 4 quarterbacks taken at the top. But the thing about the Cardinals, if they have the 4th pick, they're going to take Marvin Harrison. I don't see them trading back. I think he's such a good fit. Kyler Murray's gotten the vote of confidence from his head coach. They've just beat the Philadelphia Eagles. They're playing pretty decent football. And, you know, Hollywood's going to be out. He's a free agent. Bring in Marvin Harrison Jr., one of the best wide receiver prospects we've ever seen. And I think that's a great way to start building your franchise from there. So that is my top 4 picks. Now let's move on to pick number 5, the New York Football Giants. They are obviously going to be primed for a quarterback, but I have them taking Joe Alt, offensive tackle from the Notre Dame. In my opinion, he's the best tackle in the draft. I think he has the safest floor. He might not have the highest of upsides, but his upside is tremendous. I think this is a no-doubter. Put him in your lineup, and now you have a really, really good tackle in your hands. And the Giants have arguably one of the worst offensive lines in the league. So adding Alt would just be a fantastic addition for them. And then this leads to the pick 6. But before we get into pick 6, I want to hear from our sponsors. Let's hear about Rival Fantasy.
This episode is brought to you by Rival Fantasy. Rival Fantasy, the coolest fantasy platform not enough people know about, but they will once I'm done, baby, because they're always innovating. They just rolled out seasonal leagues. We set them up for patrons, for our listeners, and they funded over $1,000 in payouts. That's what Rival's all about. They're always innovating. They already had the fantasy book where you can take overs and unders, stack them up, multiply your payout, but then they added challenges so you can set your own lines and put them out there for the community, and then you can browse the community's lines and say, hey, this guy's crazy, I'm gonna take the other side. It's cool. And they have fantasy bingo. Rival Fantasy is reminding me how much fun I can have with fantasy football, and use that promo code PLAYER. The promo code is PLAYER. They give you a $100 instant deposit match plus $25 plus a free play. That promo code is PLAYER for up to $125 in deposit bonus and a free play. You can't beat it.
Matty Keewoom here, Blue Chips episode number 2. We are going over my Mach 1.0 that you can find over at playerprofiler.com. We are at the 106. Los Angeles Chargers are on the clock, and I have them selecting Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers would be the number one prospect in this class at the wide receiver position if it wasn't for the generational talent of Marvin Harrison Jr. He had over 1,500 receiving yards, 89 receptions. He was amongst the tops of the leagues, or I shouldn't say in college football, in yards per route run. He graded so well against man coverage. He was so tough to cover. And when I watch him play, I see Buffalo Bills Stephon Diggs, which means he could be a serious weapon for the LA Chargers. And I think they right the wrong that they made taking Quentin Johnson around one in 2023. They go to the top of the well, take Malik Nabers, set it, forget it. Now they have their next stud for when Keenan Allen retires. Next up is the Tennessee Titans, and I have them taken. Man, I am so bad with names, and this is some I am going to have to look in the mirror and practice. Olumiwu Fashanu. Oh, I'm going to call him Olu Fashanu. Olu Fashanu. We'll call him Olu Fashanu for now. Mr. Fashanu, I will get it right. Don't worry, I will get it right. But Tennessee is more than happy to walk away with probably the tackle with the most upside here at the 107. So, they're just going to keep trying to build that offensive line and get Will Levis to stay upright. So this is a pretty simple pick. Next is the New York Jets selecting Brock Bowers. Now, I like this saying. It's called in for a penny, in for a pound. They're in for a penny, so they might as well in for a pound when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. Just continue to bolster up the weapons around Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers will be back in 2024, and I think that getting one of the most tight end or one of the most decorated and most hyped tight end prospects we've ever seen is good process. Tyler Conklin's been good, but Brock Bowers would be such an upgrade. I mean, think about that. Bowers, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, you have studs. You have really good players at all the different spots of your offense, and then you could pepper in the rest of the offense with after that. But you're talking about target monsters, yak monsters, playmakers there. So Brock Bowers going to the Jets at the 108 just makes all the sense in the world, which leaves the Falcons here with the 109. And I have them taking the edge rusher, Latu, out of UCLA. Atlanta's pass rush has been one of the worst in the league in 2023. And Latu falling to them is just a gift that they can't pass up. I think he's the most talented edge rusher in this class. I think he's going to look great throughout the process. And I think a top 10 selection is all but certain when it comes to Mr. Latu for UCLA. So which that brings us to the top 10. Let's get to the top 10. Chicago Bears having their own draft selection, and I have them taking Talisi Fuaga. He is a massive left tackle, super talented player, very consistent producer at Oregon State over the last 3 years. And he, like I said, he's a mountain of a man, 6'6", 330. He's going to be an early declare. Top 20 prospect in this year. If the Bears are going to go ahead and take their new franchise quarterback, it only makes sense to now take your franchise left tackle here at the 110. But this is why I think they should trade back, keep Fields. You get two of these players, get Fuaga plus wherever else they fall, maybe get them an offensive weapon. But that's not a conversation for another day. Here we are at the 111. The Las Vegas Raiders are on the clock, and they take their franchise quarterback, Bo Nix. Now, I know what a lot of you be saying, no, panics over Nix, and you might be right. Throughout the process, maybe I make the switch, but as of right now, I have Bo Nix higher than Michael Penix. I just have had him throughout the process, and he just hasn't done anything to warrant me to push him away as my fourth quarterback off the board. I think he's very talented, and I think Penix is very, very talented. He is going to come up very, very soon in this mock draft. I think a lot of quarterbacks go in round one. But Bo Nix, Vegas, they're going to be having a new regime, whether it be with Antonio Pierce or with someone they bring from the outside. I like the idea of them keeping Pierce. I'm kind of basing a lot of my decisions around this franchise with them keeping Pierce because I think he's set up a culture that is really going to be infectious and really something they can build off of. But Aiden O'Connell's not the guy. He's just not the guy. Bo Nix could be that guy, and having him fall with the weapons that they already have to the 111 would be a great match for the Vegas Raiders. At the 112 is the Minnesota Vikings. Now, I know a lot of people are already clamoring for the Penix connection here or the Bo Nix connection here, them taking quarterback. Justin Jefferson just came out again last week how much he wants Kirk Cousins back. I think that they bring Kirk Cousins back, and I do not think that they go quarterback, although it would be interesting. I see that I've even gone on record guaranteeing that Cousins comes back. So I think that they go pass rush here, and they take Jared Verse from Florida State. He is nasty. He is a very, very strong pass rusher. He has been throughout his career in college, even before he got to Florida State. And then last year, 11 sacks, getting after the quarterback, being an absolute menace on the defensive side of the ball. He fits their scheme, and they just had an atrocious pass rush. So I think that they take the least, the maybe not as sexy pick, and they take Jared Versey from Florida State. Now we're up with the 113. The New Orleans Saints take Braylon Trice. He fits their scheme. He's big. He's been a very constant producer at Washington. And I think Foskey and Trice is kind of that nice little pass rushing pairing that kind of sets up the Saints in the future when Cam Jordan does retire. They do typically the big edge rushers, which is why Trice flew up the board for me here as opposed to some of the other options. So Trice goes 113. Denver Broncos are up. And now Denver, knowing that they're going to move on from Russell Wilson, becomes a very strong player for a quarterback. I don't have them taking a quarterback here. Perhaps in my 2.0 I will. But right here I have them taking Gershon Newton, defensive tackle from Illinois. They really just need help all over their defense. But we saw how bad they were at stopping the run. And this kid is a really strong pass rusher, disruptor in the middle of that defensive line. He had 8 sacks in 2023, and he's good at all. Like I said, he's good at stopping the run. He's really just a bring him in and improve that defensive line immediately type of player, which is why I think they select him at the 114, which brings up the Seattle Seahawks, the 115, and I have them selecting Michael Penix Jr. from Washington. Geno Smith has said that he's more than comfortable taking on that mentor role for a young signal caller. And I think that the Seahawks keep Penix in state and they kind of adapt this new iteration of the offense. I think that when you're looking at a Bo Nix, when you're looking at Michael Penix, I'm hoping that the franchise that select them for us, this is selfish for our dynasty teams, for our fantasy leagues. I want the teams that have weapons to get these players because I don't think that they reach their maximized potential having to shoulder the load of an entire team. That's why I don't want them, one of those guys, one of the Patriots. I want one of these guys going to a team that has Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers, and Michael Mayer, or you know, DK Metcalf, JSN, Tyler Lockett, Kenneth Walker Jr. I mean, he will thrive in this offense. That's why I think Michael Penix going 15th to the Seahawks is very much a place. So that makes 6 quarterbacks in the top 15. The first half of the first round, 6 quarterbacks. I think that's the type of year we're piling up for. So many franchises need quarterbacks, and these kids are not falling off. I would say that the hype that has potentially fallen back are the 1 and 2, Drake May and Caleb Williams. They have kind of dimmed a little bit when it comes to the hype, but when the process happens and we see their pro days and we see them at the combine, that hype will build right back up, and they'll be exactly where they're supposed to be. And then these other kids, you could see a situation where all 6 of them go in the top 12, that trades – you know, compile up, because you could sit here and if you see 3 quarterbacks off the board and you're Ohio State, I mean Ohio State, if you're the Arizona Cardinals and you believe that you are okay with Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison, or you're okay with one of the tackles, you could trade back and make it 4 in a row. I think that we'll see a lot of quarterbacks taken. So that's my quarterback. What do you call it? I digress on this quarterback thing here, which leaves now we're up to the Cincinnati Bengals. Now this is probably the most fun pick that I made. This is I would imagine they're going to cause people to scratch their heads, but Keon Coleman, second wide receiver off the board, and I know, third wide receiver off the board, and a lot of people will be saying, well, that's got to be Roma Dunze, and I would probably agree. He's my wide receiver three in my rankings. I particularly have a lot of reservations about Keon Coleman. I got to dive into him more throughout the process. I'm a little nervous of the prospect profile because he doesn't have a high yards per route run, and as productive as he was, he still only had 658 receiving yards. It wasn't like he lit the world on fire, but when you're talking about fit, this is a fit. This is a fit in main heaven. Now, all the premier tackles are off the board. The really upper echelon tackles are off the board, top three. So I think that they let T. Higgins go in free agency, and then they just draft a guy who can slot right into that role. And they keep the train rolling. And Keon Coleman, he makes the plays. I think that this situation in particular would get me the most excited, where he can be the number two. He doesn't have to be volume dependent. He can literally just be T. Higgins. So I love that. I love that fit for Keon Coleman in the Cincinnati Bengals, which brings up the second pick of the Arizona Cardinals first round. And man, do they have a very good first round in mock 1.0, according to Mr. Matty Kiwoom. They take Kool-Aid McKinstry, who is my number one cornerback. So they address receiver at the top part of the draft. In the mid part, they get number one corner. They need upgrades to that defensive secondary, and McKinstry brings that immediately. Now we're up with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now there's going to be a lot of ways the Steelers can go. They can take another cornerback. If McKinstry falls to them, they could take McKinstry. Excuse me, they could take a quarterback. Kenny Pickett's not the guy. So if they're in line to trade up for a quarterback, that'd be great. And again, Penix fits that, this team. They'll have weapons, good structure, good culture, exactly what you're looking for a guy like Penix or like Bo Nix. So if he falls here, but in this mock, I have him taking the tackle from Alabama, J.C. Latham. And J.C. Latham's a good player. I don't know if he necessarily sticks at tackle. His size certainly says that he will at 6'6", 335. But he's just been a good performer at Bama. And we know how Bama tackles, they can kind of fluctuate. We obviously, there are some good ones. There have been some bad ones. Evan Neal's one that come to mind. But he's really just, he's been their right tackle. Now I know their first round pick right from last year has been playing right tackle, but I think that they can just basically put the two kids together and have now their two monsters on their outside and have two really promising young tackles. So Latham goes here. Then the Green Bay Packers are up and they take my second cornerback in my rankings, which is Nate Wiggins from Clemson. They traded Rasul Douglas. Jair Alexander, I think his days are numbered there. He's having trouble being healthy. He hasn't been productive. He was suspended last week. So I think Wiggins falling to the Packers here is a good fit. And I think that now that they might be building something, and they've been putting together defensive pieces over the years, getting a piece in the secondary makes too much sense. And Wiggins is just too good to pass up here at 119. Now we are up with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and there's a little bit of a cornerback run going. We see three cornerbacks in the last four selections. They take Cooper DeJean from Iowa. Tampa needs a few things, but they can cover throughout the draft. But basically, their secondary has been bad. Jameel Dean, Carlton Davis, Zion McCollum, they've just not been good. They've been getting diced up and down, left and right. It's been bad. And DeJean has the size, the pedigree, the talent to go round one. He comes from a promising defense, and he's going to be on the team. If you know, you know. He's going to be on the team. So Cooper DeJean goes at the 120. Next up, Indianapolis Colts. They take defensive end from Penn State, Chop Robinson. Now, if Michael Pittman walks, there's a very good chance I think they go wide receiver in round one. But I think that they do what's right and they pay Pittman because he's just really broke out this year. I think he's proven he could be the alpha in this offense. He worked well with Anthony Richardson. He worked well with Gardner Minshew. So I think that they pass a wide receiver, and Chop Robinson following them at 19 just makes them very, very happy. He fits their scheme. He's a good player, high engine kid. And I think they're more than excited to bring him aboard. Next up, the Jacksonville Jaguars at the 122 take Bama edge rusher Dallas Turner. Josh Allen is set to hit free agency, so the Jaguars could decide that they just would rather replace him in the draft than use the money on him. Turner is coming off of double-digit sack season in the SEC. And he fits that type of passion. So they've gone edge. You know, they took Walker. I think it was Walker at the 101 a few years ago. But getting Turner here, I think makes sense. He's just kind of that off, you know, hand out of the dirt, kind of pin your ears back type of edge rusher that could really help this defense. Now we're up at the LA Rams at the 1-2-3, and they've been taking Amarius Mims here. Wide receiver would be sexy. Quarterback, they're not taking. Trading up for a quarterback would be sexy, but I think that McVay said he's coming back. Stafford wants to keep playing. I think they keep that train rolling. But now it's time to start protecting him. They were pretty good at pass protection this year, but the fact of the matter is, if you look at their depth chart, they ain't getting any younger. They got a pretty aging offensive line, and Mims is my last tackle with a first-round grade. So getting him here towards the back end of the draft makes sense. He's massive tackle out of Georgia. 6'7", 340. It's a big kid. He hasn't necessarily been dominant, but he checks a lot of the boxes. He can pass block, he can run block. He's truly all around good player, and he would be an early declare, which means he's got that upside. He's got that age on his side. So now let's move on to Buffalo for potentially one of the sexiest picks of the first round, Rome Odunze. Gabe Davis out. They let him walk. They bring in Rome Odunze, and the Bills cannot be happier. They not only bring in an uber-effective wide receiver two, but they bring the heir apparent to being a wide receiver one. Diggs has been bad. Diggs has not been good for them down the stretch. I think that they are going to be really in the market for wide receiver via draft. There's some really good studs here. And I think just this middling part of the draft, I don't know if we see a ton of receivers. That's kind of been where we've seen a lot of receivers go, the 11s, the 12s, the 14s over the past few years. I think we see them kind of float to the end where the wide receiver needy teams are. And that's just going to benefit teams like the Bills and the next team on the clock. So Bills get their guy, more than happy with Rome Odunze, who's a 6'3 stud. He can do it all. You can watch him in the national championship game. It's going to be a blast. He's been awesome all year long, and including the playoffs. And then next up is the Kansas City Chiefs, and I have them taking Troy Franklin, wide receiver from Oregon. Now, could have went, you know, Tez Walker, could have went Brian Thomas here, but Troy Franklin flies. He flies. And MVS sucks. He is not their guy. I think the pairing Franklin with Rice and Kelce is that chef's kiss, that perfect complement of talent. And it's not like Franklin's a slouch. He's coming off a ridiculous season. We had 1,300 receiving yards and 14 touchdowns. And even last year, he had 891 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns. He's very good. His yards per out run checks, his coverage, his grade versus man coverage also checks, which is something I like, because if you could beat man coverage, it helps you in the further steps of your career. He is a little light at 6'3", 187, but that's okay. He can put on a little bit of muscle, and he doesn't need to be this hulking 10-target guy. What they need is someone who can be feared down the field, who catches that ball against the Eagles for the win. And Troy Franklin is that guy. Now let's move on to the team that was happy that MVS could not make the catch, the Philadelphia Eagles. I have them taking Jackson Powers Johnson. Now, you might be saying to yourself, what? No one has this kid in the first round. He's like a second, third round guy. He's the best center in the draft, and that's not close. He might be the best interior lineman. As a matter of fact, he is the best interior lineman in this entire draft. And Hall of Famer, in my doppelganger, Jason Kelce, he might be retiring. And if it's not this year, it's going to be very, very soon. And the fact of the matter is, so much of this team, the Eagles rely on a strong presence at center. The tush push, the way that they run their offense through with Jalen Hurts running the football, they can't afford to have a massive drop-off at this particular position. So I believe that Jason Kelce does retire. That kind of seems to be the case. And with that, I think that they don't mess around. They it's not like they're littered with holes. They can make a luxury pick. They can make a pick where they reach here at the end of the first. And I think Jackson Powers Johnson is that perfect guy. You bring him in and you just keep building that offensive line. You keep it strong because it's so important to how they operate in Philly. So I think that is the pick there at the 1-2-7, the Detroit Motor City Kitty. Shout out to Cody Carpentier. He's the one that put that in my head. He always calls them Detroit Motor City Kitties, and it just sticks. It's hilarious. I said that to my daughters, and they love it. They now run around. They're the kitties. It's just funny. So I have them selecting Leonard Taylor III, big old D tackle from the University of Miami. Productive player. Got the first round. He's probably a first round grade. Really, really great 2022. He did fall off a little bit in 2023, but he's still got that talent, the same talent that he displayed a year ago. He's 6'3", 305, so he's over that 300 threshold to play the anchor for this defense. And he just provides a big, big upgrade to the middle of their D-line. And I think that they're another team that have been okay selecting picks that make you go, what? Jack Campbell, Jahmyr Gibbs last year. Everyone was like, what? That was in our mock. We didn't think that was going to happen. And they're like, screw it. That's what helps our team. And I think that Taylor here really does help their team. Now the 128, we have another defensive tackle being drafted, Trevondre Sweat. Now, again, I got to give a big shout out to Cody for this. He's put me onto this player. He's kind of being regarded as the fifth or sixth tackle, defensive tackle in this class. But I have him at three. I mean, and he's going to push two. I think he's going to have some of the most helium throughout the process. Because in Houston, they need to improve in the trenches, whether it be offensive, defense. And I don't think that they let Sweat leave the state of Texas. He had such a good, dominant 2023 that sometimes this helps propel these kids into the first round. And when you look at it, I don't think that the the Houston's next pick doesn't come to the 217. So they're waiting a lot. They're sitting back and having to wait a long time before they make next selection. I think that they take this pick here. This is the Cleveland Browns slot, not the Houston Texans slot. The Houston Texans slot is awarded to the Cardinals after the trade for, I think it was Will Anderson last year. So we go Trevondre Sweat, D-tackle. And then this next pick, again, is a bit of a reach, but I just think it makes sense in so many levels. Now, there is a scenario where I could see this kid going back to school. There's a scenario where I could see this kid going in the second round. So maybe they don't take him here in the first. But Jatavion Sanders, tight end, Texas. He is a stud tight end. And if it wasn't for Brock Bowers, he'd be the number one in this class. I think he would definitely come out because he would be a first-round pick if it wasn't for Bowers. Now, you look at his 682 receiving yards, and you don't realize how good that is, especially when he's sharing an offense with Jonathan Brooks when he was healthy, who was a dominant receiver, Xavier Worthy, one of the fastest wide receivers in this class, and then Adonai Mitchell. These are, you know, really good players, and his yards per out run is there. He doesn't drop the ball. He's one of the best yak tight ends in college football, super athletic, and what people do forget, he is a blue chip prospect. He was the number one tight end in his class ahead of Brock Bowers. So this kid has been on the radar, been productive, has round one written all over him. And I think through the process, a team like the Dolphins, who love athleticism, love playmaking, love speed, can't pass up on him. I know they don't use their tight end, but they don't have a guy like Sanders. And I think you add a player, a playmaker like this in the middle of your field, it's just going to further open up how defenses have to game plan for Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and now Jatavion Sanders. I think this is a match made in heaven that, again, is just sitting here at the end of the first round is a home run, for my opinion. This is another pick that was a little bit of a crazy one here, but the more I dove into it, the more it just kind of makes sense to me. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. going first round to the Dallas Cowboys. Now, he does not have a round one grade on most publications, but that's okay. I don't care. This is my process. Dallas does lack a little bit of that thump. Their linebacking group, they're a little small, and we keep seeing that bite them in the ass over and over again. Trotter does help with that problem. He is a thumper. 6 foot, 230. He's just a brick wall. He is tough in that way. And then, this is where it's going to get crazy. In my mock, I wrote this, so I'm going to put it on the video as well. This is Bill Belichick's first draft selection as the Dallas Cowboys head coach. So if, as I know Bill, as he's being the head coach of my favorite team for the better part of my entire life, he will make selections at the end of the first round that make you go, is that a reach? But this is a new territory for him. This is a new franchise for him. He's got playmakers on this team. He can get the player that helps them most, and a thumper is what helps them the most. And Jeremiah Trotter has the pedigree. Dad was in the NFL. I think this is a great pick by the Dallas Cowboys. The Niners are up next, according to the current standings, and they need to go tackle, so they maybe don't take a first-round graded tackle. But if you talk about the second-to-last pick in the first round, and they get a very good tackle in Troy Fontenot. He's been another consistent producer over at Washington. He fits the mold to be 6'4", 317, so I think he'll have some versatility if he wants to settle interior outs or in the outside. They obviously have Trent Williams, big dog, over at the left tackle, so they don't need a left tackle. They can put someone at right. They can put him at the guard. But I think that they'll have their choice here of Fontenot, Barton, Morgan, Paul. These are all offensive linemen that could be selected at the back end of the first round. And I think that right now, as my process has started to play out, they're going to go ahead and get Troy Fontenot, offensive tackle. Now, this is the last pick of the mock draft. This is the last pick of the video, and it's probably the scariest one that no one really realizes because it doesn't have that blatant sex appeal, and it also doesn't have fantasy football ramifications. But the Baltimore Ravens, Super Bowl champs, selecting Tyler Newbin, safety from Washington or from Minnesota. So they could use a well-rounded safety. Baltimore selects, in my opinion, the most well-rounded safety in the class. He put together a really, really dynamic 2023, and they've been using Kyle Hamilton in the slot a ton, and we've seen him be super disruptive there. I mean, the Monday Night Football game against the Niners a few weeks ago where he had two picks really shows how much he can help in the slot there. So you get a guy like Newbin who can kind of man that secondary, you know, man the back part, play a little center field, but also have the ability to crush people. Also, he's a ball hawk. I mean, Newbin had a great 2023. This is a scary selection for the Baltimore Ravens. So that is it. That is my first round. So I will go away. I will give a quick bang, bang, bang recap of the round one. So starting with the 101, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr., Joe Alt, 106, Malik Nabers, Olufashinu, Brock Bowers, Leitu, Talese Fuaga, Bo Nix, Jared Verse, Braylon Trice, Jershon Newton, Michael Penix Jr. rounds up the top 15. Starting at the 116, Keon Coleman, Kool-Aid McKinstry, J.C. Latham, Nate Wiggins, Cooper DeJean for the team. We finally got one. We got one on the team. Chop Robinson goes to the Colts, Dallas Turner, Amarius Mims, Roma Dunsey, 124 to the Bills, Troy Franklin to the Chiefs, Jackson Powers Johnson, Leonard Taylor III, Trevondre Sweat, Jatavion Sanders, Jeremiah Trotter, Troy Fontenot, and Tyler Newbin, 132 to the Baltimore Ravens. So that is it. That is the mock draft 1.0 recap here on Blue Chips episode 2, where Devy meets Dynasty, meets college football, and we look at all the prospects, the all-encompassing class of college football athletes, the stars that we will undoubtedly see on Sunday. We're going to start covering them here in the Blue Chips now before they play on Sunday. So we can check that out. I'm Matty Kiwoom. You can find me on Twitter at Matty Kiwoom. Articles coming out at Player Profile. We got a lot coming in this offseason. It is the Dynasty on season here at Player Profile, so be tuning in for all the good stuff here. Game plan, trade gods, a little bit of hiatus at the end of the year, but we will be back bringing you some tools to help in your tuba. But Trade Philosophies, episode 2, will be coming out soon, so you can check that out. And if you just can't get enough of your boy, head over to patreon.com/executives. But this is Blue Chips. I'm Matty Kiwoom, and I will see you next time. Deuces.
Hey, I want to take a moment to thank you for tuning in. It's important to me that all of our media be free. This is only possible because of you, allowing a true independent sports media enterprise to thrive unlike any other in the business. So please subscribe to the All-In Package to continue to make all this possible, to ensure that all of our stats, information, data, content is available to you, especially you, the people that get the site and get the show.